Ever wanted to know what it takes to become a successful trader? Alex shares his journey to becoming a trader and interviews successful traders along the way to help you. You're listening to Be the Trader.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the show. I just want to remind you that I'm also on YouTube, and you can find me at just the letter B, Be the Story, or Be the Trader. You should be able to find me that way. Be sure to subscribe and comment below, as I like to interact with each and every one of you. And another side note, I actually just partnered with Cobra Trader. They're my broker. You guys know this if you've been watching my show. And I love them because of borrows, easy borrows. And you get a really sweet deal and discount if you use my code. Just basically tell them you heard from Be the Trader or Be the Story or Alex Bustos. And it does help me out, and I appreciate that, but I wouldn't be suggesting them if I didn't use them myself, which I do. So without further ado, let's get it started. Welcome back, everybody, to Be the Trader. Today, I have a very special guest, someone that you might have heard from on a different show, maybe a different podcast, or maybe you might have seen some of his blogs or articles on S&P Capital. He's a trader. He's also, I believe he's a mentor as well. And John, look, John, I appreciate you. John Locke. For those who do not know, look him up on Google for sure if you want to get full in-depth background. But I will say he's going to give us a little bit about his background today. So, John, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Alex. Hey, yeah, and if you look up John Locke, you're going to find the great philosopher, which I try to emulate some of his quotes sometimes. But actually, look up Locke in your success, L-O-C-K-E in your success. That's how you find me, and you'll find that. So anyway, thanks for having me on.
For sure. Sure. If you could tell me a little bit about, like, give us a little background, what got you started in trading, and then we'll just take it from there.
Yeah, okay. So I guess I'm different than a lot of people. A lot of traders, especially mentors or somebody who have been in the options pits, or they've traded all their lives or something like that. But the reality is I started out as a success and life coach. And I was life coaching, and some of my clients were traders, and I was at a success seminar one day. I come across this thing from InvestTools. I don't know if you remember InvestTools. I don't think they're around anymore. But I don't know. This was like in 2005 or something like that. It was many years ago. And I kind of Phil Town was presenting. Do you know who Phil Town is?
No, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he's one of the big guys in one of the big gurus, as they say, for value investing right now. But at the time, he was the promoter for InvestTools. He'd come in and he'd do the seminars and stuff. And he kind of got me hooked on trading. He's a really great speaker. And I just kind of started from there, you know, and things developed into where they are now.
So what do you think? I mean, you were a life coach or success coach? Is that the same one in the same kind of?
Well, it can be, right? So you can be a life coach and deal with everybody's feelings, or you can kind of be a success coach and try to get people off their butt and do something.
Okay.
and that's where I was at.
Gotcha. So when it came to starting from that perspective, because I hired my own life coaches and actually I still work with one. So
sure.
I know they're very valuable, and they
Extremely.
Help out a ton in terms of just everything in life, not only just trading, but like, I feel like it spills everywhere. And I think when you become a good trader, it kind of amplifies your entire life, not because of monetarily, but because of, you know, the discipline, you know, how you view things from a different perspective, from taking some space away between the emotion. So I'm curious, like, when you started trading from that perspective of a success coach, what was that like at the beginning as a brand new trader? Like, what were you thinking about first? Just curious.
I fell in the traps, same traps everybody else does at first, right? Hey, this trading thing's cool. I think I want to make some money, right? So, you know, let's start trading. And you know, how hard can it be? They got this system where you got these three red arrows and three green arrows. You can just kind of follow along, and everything's going to be wonderful. And you know, you find out pretty fast that their strategy, it makes you wonder how they can advertise it that way, the way they advertise things sometimes. But you find out pretty soon that, hey, you're going to be taking losses. A lot of these trades aren't going to work, and stuff like that. And you know, what do we do when it stops working? Well, I'm going to go to the next thing. I think a lot of people tend to gravitate. They start with maybe swing trading or buying stocks or something, and then they gravitate towards shorter and shorter time frames in their trading, which actually it's harder to make money than the shorter timeframes. The longer your time frame, the easier it really is. But they go into the more difficult type of trading, but they don't realize that, right? They see the opportunity there, or they think there's opportunity there, and they go into these shorter and shorter term timeframes. And then it still doesn't work. So then they try something else, and then they try something else. And, you know, I think for some people, all of a sudden, maybe they've learned enough or whatever, or they've just experienced a period of luck and they kind of get hooked on a certain type of trading and they just kind of run with it. And for me, it was what we call complex options trading, which is a little bit different or quite a bit different than what you guys probably do. I think your guys do a lot of short-term directional stuff, right?
Yeah, it's more of intraday and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and I do performance stuff for people who do intraday trading, but my main audience is what we call income traders. So we put on a strategy. It doesn't really matter if the market goes up, down, or sideways, as long as it's range bound, and it's kind of like a game of chess. So we come in, and you know, we have this whole strategy laid out, and we put it together, and we make money over. And our trades usually last 30 to 60 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's really cool.
And so you kind of, like you said, you started like everyone else, so you kind of jumped from place to place in terms of different strategies, and then you landed in the complex options, right?
Yeah, and I wasn't doing well there either. You know, you have periods of time like everybody else. You have periods of time you do really well. You have periods of time then you do really crappy, and you go, oh, this sucks, and you go in to do something else, right?
Yes.
And that's the typical trader. And the funny part is you'll see traders do that for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and I don't know why they keep doing it half the time, but they will do that.
I don't mean to interrupt, but when you said something about, you know, you'll find something that works and then, you know, for a while, and then you'll go through a little, you know, dip, and then maybe jump somewhere else. What do you recommend? Stick with what's been working or jump somewhere else?
Well, I think it's the whole general expectation of a person that they're going to try to find a rule set that's going to trade. They're going to trade and it's just going to work and it's going to work forever. That whole concept of trading is completely false. Mm. So, you know, what they don't realize is that, you know, they're going to go through a learning process, and there's certain strategies that are going to work at certain times. And then they're not going to be they're not going to be profitable for a while. And then it's going to come back probably another 6 or 8 months. It'll be profitable again.
Yep.
And what people do is they chase the tail. So they get into this strategy. So if you've been in a strategy that's been profitable for a long time, chances are that strategy is going to be turning out of favor. Just like the market, it goes up, right? Everybody gets in at the top. So they see the history of the strategy and was doing well. All the internet guys are promoting it and all this other stuff. They think it's wonderful because they can show this little track record that they found. And people will jump into it. But they jump into it at the time when that strategy is likely to turn out of favor. And so they jump into it. And the good thing might be that strategy actually loses and turns out of favor right away. But what usually happens is they hit the top three quarters and they'll go in and they'll try a couple of months at a really small size, and then they'll expand up to size. Yeah. And then strategy turns out of favor and they get whacked, right?
Yep.
And then they're like, oh, well, this really sucks. And then they go look for the next thing that's been doing well recently, and they hit it at the same cycle. And so rather than understanding why the strategy was winning, why it's not winning, and when it's going to start winning again, they're just going from one thing to the next because they're just hunting for the thing that's been doing well recently. And that whole cycle continues for years and years and years. The next thing you know, you're 50 years old like me, right? And a lot of people never – all this time's gone by and you're just not making it anywhere.
So, you know, it's funny you say that because I'm curious – when you just hit on something, you said, you know, they're not realizing why it's happening, what's actually happening to make this move possible, to make this trade an actual setup for the time. How should people really think about, like, say that someone's listening right now and they're listening to some guru on some ad, because you just go anywhere, they're probably watching an ad right now as they watch the show. And it's probably going to be someone saying, learn this strategy, which I think is so cheesy. And at the end of the day, what if they jump in? Like, what should they be thinking if they do jump in? How should they analyze something to make sure that they can learn from it rather than depend on it? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's not a magic black box, right? There's a reason that the strategy is working. So the first thing I think is to realize or not have the expectation that I'm going to do this, it's going to work forever, and I'm going to be a full-time trader. That is just, it doesn't work that way, right? That's foolish. Or if you do that, sometimes it works long enough to become a full-time trader, and you do that, and then of course you get hit, and then it's a real problem, right? Because now you have a job. But realize going in, this is only a temporary thing. It has an edge in the marketplace right now. Why does it have an edge in the marketplace? And try to understand it from that perspective, and also understand why that edge is in the marketplace itself and when that edge shifts. Like, so for example, I have people who call me, I think it was like 2014 or something, it was notorious for this. If after one of the big long runs up in the market, mm-hmm. they call me with their directional strategies and they say, I want to go out and I want to be a full-time trader because I specialize in helping people transition into full-time trading.
Okay.
Right. So they'll come in and they'll say, I want to be a full-time trader. I'll say, okay, show me what you got. And you know, the guys, and I probably got like six of these in that time frame, and everybody's doing bullish strategies. Yeah, no shit, you're winning. The market's going up every day. You can flip a coin, throw a dart at a dartboard, doesn't matter. You're going to be winning. But this was an extended period of time. It was like a year and a half, 2 years. I'm like, well, what are you going to do when the strategy stops working? And they're like, what? They couldn't answer me. They had no idea. They didn't even consider that there was going to be a period of time when things aren't going to be functioning well, right? Or when they're going to lose the money. And that's the problem right there in a nutshell. They should realize that, hey, this strategy is making money because it's a bullish strategy. Everything's going up. I could buy anything and be making money. Instead, they think they're an awesome trader and they figured it out.
Mm. And interesting. So I like that you say, you know, look at every strategy as this is working right now and then try to learn from it rather than saying, okay, I'm going to learn this strategy, become full time, because I made that mistake. And I definitely know. I mean, I've only been
training. You're not alone.
Yeah, I've definitely only been training for like 3.5-4 years. And I can tell you that here's one thing though. And I could be completely wrong on this. That's fine. But I think personally, you know, I have not been looking at the markets as long as you have. And so I know this. And so I'm asking rather than telling. And I'm just showing you what I've witnessed. I'm curious if you've witnessed the same thing in terms of, I think strategies change. I think they evolve. I think the main picture doesn't change. I feel like the big picture on why it happens, like, doesn't really change. What really changes is how it happens, like within the strategy over time. Because what I have learned is like, why? Because I track everything, like every single thing, and I've been trading this one strategy for a long time, and I'm not saying it's always going to work, but I just know that it has changed though. Like there's been times where I went killing it, and then all of a sudden a month straight just treading water, and then maybe a week straight just losing, right? And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden I realize, oh, it's changed. Let me adjust how I trade it. Like, what's your opinion on that?
You're being adaptive. Right, you're understanding this thing. So I have this concept. Your trading rules are going to fail you. The concepts are always the same. So if you can focus on the concepts of why the strategy wins and what it is in the marketplace that allows the strategy to win, that concept is always going to be the same. Now, you could go back test and you can form fit it to a rule set so that it follows the concept.
Okay.
But eventually, something in the market is going to change where your trading concept will probably still work, but the rule set doesn't work anymore, which is what you're doing. You're saying, I have this concept of the thing that I'm doing, and these are the rules, and it's going fine, and now I got an extended period of time where it's not working. I still want to accomplish the same thing, but in order to do so, I'm going to have to modify my rule set to do it.
So, what you're not saying, just to make sure I'm clarifying, what you're not saying is don't not have rules.
Right? Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. And you know, but the thing is, your rules don't have to
know they're going
to
fail you.
Like if you do the same thing all the time, regardless of the marketplace, yes. Right. So, like a lot of the strategies I'll do is I'll have a different set of rules for every trade I enter.
Yeah, I do too. I understand what you mean there. Yeah.
Right. So these are the conditions. Okay. These are my expectations. This is where I'm willing to lose. This is where I want to win. Let's put it on. The problem with traders, especially the traders that I deal with, is that they have this fear and they hide the losing scenario from themselves. Okay. So in other words, a directional trader, if you put a trade on, you know that if the market goes up, if you're long, the market goes up, I'm going to win, the market goes down, I'm going to lose, right? That's pretty straightforward. Our traders are the people who couldn't deal with that. So they come into this market neutral trading, and we have what we call a flat delta. You know what delta is?
I don't.
Okay, so when you buy one share of stock, right, and the price goes up a dollar and you win a dollar, that's your delta. Your delta is one. So every dollar it goes up, it's you're gonna lose.
Okay.
If you go short the stock, you have a negative one delta because every dollar, because you go down. So we trade delta zero, which means the stock can move either way and you don't lose any money. Over time, the position gains value. All right?
I have no idea what that means.
Right. Well, it's different. But the thing is, if you're delta zero, you can't see, and you make money with time.
Yes.
You can't see the losing scenario. How can I lose?
Yeah, because the way because when you explain that, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, so I can see what you're saying.
How can I lose, right? So they're hiding it, but you can lose, believe me. I've lost, right? So you can do it. But what it does is it hides that losing scenario from the trader. And that way, for that reason, people like to come to our type of trading because they can't see the losing scenario. But it's still there, right? Because we win, like, I mean, I don't know how many percentage of trades you win from a you know, how many aren't there? Usually directional traders are like 4 to 7 out of 10.
Cool.
You know, we're going to be like 8, 9, 10 out of 10 for a lot of the times for long periods of time. Well, we have high probability too. So in other words, the price can go up and down and sideways or whatever. As long as it doesn't run too far too fast, we win. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of environments or a lot of different situations we can do that. And plus we have these adjustment rules and stuff. So that we're going to win a lot more. I'm going to win my, you take 10 trades or 100 trades, I'm going to win a lot more often than you. It doesn't mean you're not making more money than me, but I'm just going to win more often. Right. But my point being, it hides the losing scenario from those traders. So then they think they can't lose. And that's a problem.
That could be really bad.
That's a problem, right? Yeah. Right. And I think we saw, I think 2018, we had that big hedge fund blow up that was doing the naked short options and stuff. And, you know, he convinced himself that he'd never lose. Mm. Right? And he hid the losing scenario from himself. Unfortunately, he had a lot of customers who were trusting him. But, you know, if I'm looking at that as a coach and he came to me and he said, hey, look, I got this strategy and I back tested it forever and it always won. And, you know, now I've live traded it for 3 years and I'm always won. I could look at that. You can look at that strategy. You can say, wait a minute, that's a blow up strategy. It just hasn't happened yet. Right. Just because you have an experience doesn't mean it's not. It doesn't mean anything.
That's probably like the worst one. Right. Like, because, you know, you're not ready for it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what he did. And I see that with my traders too. Well, I'll look at what they're doing. I said, you're going to blow up. And they're like, well, but I've won for like 3 years or whatever. I said, I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Speaking of that, what are some things that I love that you just pointed that out. I want to go down that hole real quick. When you said you're speaking to traders and sometimes you'll pick up right away that you're like, you know what, if you keep doing this, maybe they're doing great, right? Maybe they're doing well.
Oh, yeah.
I talk to traders all the time where they're like, Alex, I've been killing it. And I'm always like, dude, like, you don't see it, but I definitely can see that you could really take a big loss with how you're trading right now. And so, because I've taken huge, like, dude, people know my story. They follow my show. I've lost huge before. So I can tell you that sometimes you don't know what you don't know, right? And so I'm curious, like, what are some things that come to your mind that are either warning signs that someone can listen to this show and be like, oh, I say those things, or I've seen those things, or I'm doing that. And to know that they could be vulnerable so they can analyze it differently. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think the first problem is thinking you're invincible, right? In other words, this is, go back to where we stood before. This is going to work forever. And the other thing is too, is are you actually following a process or are you just kind of throwing shit at the fan?
Hmm.
Right? Because you can do that. You can throw shit at the fan for a long time and make money.
Yes.
But it's not a process, and there's no way to evaluate that. And what you see with those traders is they're going with results, right? So we can talk about basing your – you don't want to base your performance off results. You always want to base it off process.
Yes.
And, you know, people say, I can be a full-time trader because I've had good results. I say, show me your process. Show me your process. Show me what you're doing. Because I want to know, you know, what's their position sizing strategy? How are they scaling up and down? What are they thinking at this time? What are they thinking at that time? How much risk are they taking on? I mean, you can make completely stupid decisions
yes.
and win. I mean, that happens all the time, right? So when you do that, what happens in your mind? Well, oh, I'm fantastic. I can do this again. And you're more likely to do this again, even with more money.
Yeah.
Right. We had a trader that did that. We're doing market neutral, but sometimes we kind of take a directional guess, and we allow trading to get way out of whack, right? So he's trading this trade, and we had a big down move, and he basically bought into the pain, right? Mm-hmm. So he made it so he's more delta, or in your world that would be increasing position size, mm-hmm. and he ends up winning the trade. And if I look at that trade, I say, that's fine that you did it. First of all, it's fine that you did it. It's not a problem. As long as you realize that you were lucky. You won the trade because you were lucky. It wasn't a good trading practice. It wasn't that you're a genius. You were freaking lucky. So as long as you do that. But what happened is he didn't realize that he was lucky. And the next time it happened, what do you think he did? He cranked up even more. He was a bigger size. And
it didn't come back.
He wasn't lucky.
Yeah.
Right? So that's when I get the phone call. No, I've been doing good for the last 2 years, and now I just lost all my money.
Yep.
You know, it's like, well, just because you were looking at results, you weren't looking at process, right?
Yes,
And that's what we need to do.
We need to focus on, at the end of the day, did I follow my process? That's a win. Versus, did I make money?
We also have to look at our process, too, and make sure our process is responsible. Because sometimes it's not. And maybe it's good to have other people look at it. Right. So, you know, we do this in our type of trading all the time. We back test strategies. And as you know, I don't want to downplay the decisions you have to make. You have very important decisions to make. But basically, if you do a trade, you have only a couple decisions to make. What am I going to get in? What am I going to get out?
Okay.
Right. We're saying, how are we going to do the market? What delta are we going to do? What price range are we planning for? What's the implied volatility going to do? And how are we going to change when the market moves around? Because like I said, it's like a big game of chess. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of different decisions to make. And we need to make sure that during each of those decisions, we're keeping our risk under control and so forth. But anyway, the people will back test it and they'll make all the right decisions at the right time.
Of course.
Right? So well, let me put it this way. You have a trading strategy that has a, let's call it an 80% win rate. I win 8 out of 10 trades I go in on average, right? If you backtest something like that, the reality is that strategy had probably 40% solid winners, where every strategy has gray areas. You know,
yes.
I get in exactly here? Do I get in exactly there? You always have those gray areas, right?
Yes.
But you have probably 40% of the trades in our type of trade, because we're high probability, that are going to win no matter what decision you make at that gray area. And then you have 20% of trades that are just going to fail no matter what decision you make in the gray areas. And then you have this wide range of 40% that can go either way. Right? And when people backtest, they always make the right decision at those times, because that's what they do, right? That's the human condition. You're trying to win. This is my objective. So when they do that, so then they have this strategy where they have a false sense of what it can produce. Or maybe it's realistic. It depends on how good you are.
True.
How good your mindset. What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on probabilities? Are you focusing on results? The problem when you focus results is you don't learn. Right? Because you can get a good result and a bad outcome.
Yep.
And you can have a good outcome and a bad process. Yep. And you can have a bad process and a good outcome. And if you're changing your trading style because you had got a bad outcome, and you were following a good process, then you've taught yourself the opposite of what you need to do to be a good trader. This is why the more strategies and the more information a lot of traders take in, the worse they get.
Oh, it's funny. That's funny. That's so funny, because it's like all this extra information. You don't know what to, you know, differentiate. Is this a process? Is this not? Because you can look at so many different ways to trade. At the end of the day, dude, like, I have buddies who trade the same ticker as me and did the exact opposite of me, and we both made money. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, but their process is always the same. And my process is always the same. And it's just shows there's so many ways to trade. that you just need to find really your process, what works for you, what you're confident in, and stick with it and not keep on adding new things over and over and over. That's just my opinion, but.
Yeah. I mean, I get that question a lot too, you know, hey, I keep losing all the time. If I just do all the things the opposite, am I going to win? And the answer is no, because I can show you a trading strategy and I can take a trading strategy, give it to 100 people, 20% of them are going to make money. You know, 40% of them are going to break even, and, you know, it's like 20% or something is going to lose miserably. And I can take another strategy and do the same thing, and the same 20 people will make money.
Yep.
Right? It's all in the head and the decisions you're making at those gray areas.
Talking about how does someone get, you know, we have about 10 minutes left, so I want to see if we can dive into this. Sure. How do you feel about the gray area in terms of, so trading, when I first started, I used to always try to make it like it's black and white, and it's not, and, you know, it was not for me. And I learned very hard it was not. So how does someone who thinks that, because I don't know if everyone thinks that way, but it's easier to think that way. You know, like if this happens, this happens. If this happens, this happens. Well, I think the gray area is where all the real success really is, right? I have a strategy, but certain things need to happen on the tape or on the level two all together to give me that probability edge. So how does someone really take that switch to, do you feel, just from your point of view, to go from, it's not just simple black and white. It is gray, but that doesn't mean it's scary. You just need to know that.
Well, gray. Yeah, it's about being, it's your ability to stay objective with what the market's doing, right? So as soon as, if you take two people and one of them has one of them's secure, confident in himself and that type of thing, and he can see both sides of what's going on, right? He can go in and he can make objective decisions based on some sort of a close actual probability of something happening. If you take somebody who's like fearful of money, right, he's going to get into that trade and the market's going to be going a certain way. And he's going to use that as proof to make up a story. In other words, if you're insecure, if you're insecure, you want certainty. If I tell you the market could go either way, I don't know. That's not certainty. But that's the attitude you have to have, right? Yes. So if I'm looking for certainty, what I'm going to do is I'm going to see what the market's doing, and I'm going to relate that to whether I'm making money or losing money. And then I'm going to look for certainty by figuring out a way that I know for absolutely sure where the market's going to go so that I can be certain.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is if I'm sure where the market is going to go, that does not make for a good trading situation.
It does not.
Because we don't know where the market's going, right? So that's the difference right there, right? So the guy who's afraid, rather than looking at all the options and looking for the probability of things to go a certain way, they convince themselves, because they need the certainty, they convince themselves that this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they make their decisions off of that. So when you get to a gray area where one guy is objective, the other guy has an agenda,
mm-hmm.
right? And it has nothing to do with probabilities.
It's all about what they want or desire at that time.
It's what they're afraid of.
Or
it could go the other way too. They could be like super overconfident and like, I know everything, right? We need to be in the middle. We need to be able to create a story for a reason why the market's going to go up. And we need to create an equally powerful story for why the market's going to go down, and then analyze the evidence and then decide which way the market's going to go. But when you're in the position or you're overly excited about entering a position, you can't be objective in that way. And probabilities get thrown out the window. So the funny thing about a human being is we can logically explain why a reason to take any action, right? If we're emotional enough about it. So
yeah, absolutely.
You have to realize that we do that, right?
it's so funny because I record my screen while I'm trading and I talk into my mic, my head. Like I literally talk as like, all right, I'm watching this because here's what I'm looking at. Here's what I want to see happen, as if it's my journal writing, right? And then I type it out too, my plan, before I even trade it. And what I've noticed, because I've been doing this for a while, and when I go back and watch, it's so valuable when you go back and watch your losses, right? You go back and watch the losses and you see what you were thinking out loud. And there's some times where I was thinking something beautiful before I entered the trade, right? And then I entered the trade and then I started to bleed in the wrong.
Boom.
And then I rewatched that and I was like, what was I doing? I was like, and then you have that coach perspective, right? Because now you're like looking back, you have no fear. You're not in the trade. You're watching yourself trade. Dude, it's so valuable. So I agree with you 1,000%. And when I did that, it helped me see that way more clear. Because when you're in the moment, it's hard to see it. But like if you were my coach and we were just sitting here talking, you'd be like, and you were watching me trade, you would see it right away. You would see it right away.
I have no stake in the game, right?
Exactly. And so I think it's huge that you said that. One thing I want to ask you is, because you mentioned you help traders go full-time, like in terms of thinking the right way, can you hit on what you mean by that? Like when a trader comes to you, what are some things that they should be thinking about before they even take that leap? Like what are some ideas?
Well, first of all is you need to realize that your income from trading is going to be variable, right? So this is one of the biggest challenges that I see is that people will come in and they'll say, if I can just make $5,000 a month, I'll be perfectly fine. I'll say, okay, let's go down. We'll do a budget. And we're going to pretend that you make, and we'll give them some sort of a realistic profit and loss curve on their trading. And what we find out is even if they make what they think they're going to make, they can't make it. Right? Because they kind of, all they do is they go in their head and they say, oh, $5,000 a month is fine for me. I'll be okay. Right? And then you'll have this guy, he makes $200,000 a year. And it's like, okay, so first of all, your lifestyle is going from $200,000 a year to $60,000 a year. First of all, it's stop, right?
That's true.
Right? You have to really think about that. The other thing is that even if they get the $5,000 a year, if you take a look at their expenses and so forth, and the fact that you actually have to save money, and then if you have a drawdown in your account, you actually have to put money in your account, all at the same time while taking an income, right, having to pay your bills, those numbers, just simply those numbers, a lot of people, they think they'll work, but they don't. They don't even come close, right? So I've had people say, okay, well, show me the numbers from your back test. And the back test had, you know, a somewhat realistic profit and loss curve to it. I say, okay, so here's the numbers from the back test. Let's pretend for the next 2 years, this is what you make. And let's go through the whole budget, you know, what you're spending. We have to save money, you have to refund your account, da, da, da. And you run through the numbers, numbers don't work. Right. So that is huge. And the problem is if the numbers don't work, if you go out and do it, numbers aren't working. Now you start to freak out, right?
Then you might trade worse.
even if your trade worked, you're going to make it so it doesn't work because you're so stressed out about it, right? So you're not going to be trading well. And what happens when you start, when that happens? Well, then I start jumping to some strategy I don't know.
Yes.
Because it's been working well recently and we get all back into the loop and next thing you know, you're looking for a job again. Right.
Yes.
So those are the types of things that I think that's one of the biggest things. And it really has nothing to do with a trade per se.
Yeah.
But it's just in order to trade well, you have to be able to come at the market at a neutral mindset. You have to be willing to take that loss. Mm-hmm. I'm like 100% willing, like not even phase you. Right. And you're not going to do that if you're under financial pressure. So you need to make sure that you're not going to be under that financial pressure.
You know, it's funny you say this. And before we wrap this up, I do want you to share with everyone how they can find you, where you can be located. But I do want to make a point real quick. And that is, the longer I've been doing this, you know, I've been fortunate and blessed right now where I have a lot of freedom, right? And so I work a lot. Like I do multiple things.
Sure.
But what I've realized is like trading can be an amazing additional source of income than a sole source of income, which is, I'm not saying, you know, that'd be great if it can be, right? But at the same time, like some people just think I want to get rid of my job, maybe because they're not happy, you know, and I was there, but you can find things that you can do multiple, you know, I contract and I do contract stuff and I'm really flexible. And so now I can trade and have another source of income and I have YouTube, you know, everyone knows. So like it's amazing how if you just change your perspective and then you won't rush and then you eventually you might be able to do it. But like if you rush into it, it's not going to work.
Well, here's one thing from a psychological standpoint that we always have to consider. Whenever you make a decision because you're running away from something, chances are it's a bad decision. So if you're running away from your job, if you're running away from what you feel is captivity from having to work or whatever, it's almost always a bad decision. So, and I also like what you said too about multiple streams of income. I trade on a trading desk. I trade my personal money. I trade, but I also have this business, right? I also sell programs. So realistically, and I own real estate, by the way, right? So I have rental real estate, so I have a rental income. So realistically, any one of those sources of income could completely blow up and go away. It sucks.
Yeah.
Who cares, right?
You won't be the guy who has one source.
I won't, no. And you find that most millionaires or people who are secure will have multiple sources of income. And it only makes sense, right? But, you know, but if you're running away from a job and you – it's just, it's a bad scenario.
I like that you said that, because you, when you said you're running away, if you're making a decision based off of like trying to get away from something, it really made me think about when I learned from my life coaches, more so like if you're in a state of fear or if you're in a negative state or a really high state, you know, you're only going to make decisions based off that state. You're not going to be at a neutral, like relaxed, you know, decision.
And you're going to create evidence to prove that wherever you are really sucks and wherever you're going is like nirvana, right?
Yeah, it's so true. Well, John, look, man, it's been so fun. Could you share with everyone, you know, where they can find you, whether it's social media or website, and then we can wrap this up, my man.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. So I am John Locke at lockeinyoursuccess.com. That's LOCKE. inyoursuccess.com. We also have a website, thewinningtrade.com, and we have tradingperformancepodcast.com. So lots of YouTube videos, lots of free information, lots of free stuff. So come on over and get it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, John. I really appreciate it. I've really enjoyed this conversation, my man.
Had a good time, Alex. Thank you, man.